Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Patriots, thank you for tuning in to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we're just coming off of a great weekend, a long road trip, an awesome Red Pill Festival, and we're wiped, but we're wiped out. But I got Lady Liberty here with me for segment one.
Yep.
Yeah, so we are going to do something a little different here than what I was had originally planned earlier in the week for this show. Last week I had mentioned there are some topics that I wanted to cover, and we're going to do that, but we're just going to push that back a week and we'll resume. But we each had, there was just such a great lineup of speakers and we got to meet so many people.
Yeah. That Red Pill was a ball. We had an absolute ball.
A huge success.
Yeah. Yep. We were so inundated. I mean, basically from the moment we set up till the moment we ran out of there. Right? I mean, you know, it was, yeah. we were that busy. We sold a lot of books.
Yeah. Because you debuted your book 444, which just came in on Friday.
Yep.
Sold a bunch of those. Yesterday, Saturday.
Yep.
And,
as a pair with, The Perils of Sustainable Development, that's kind of like the basis, you know, the beginning, and then 444 is the conclusion of where we're at right now and what we can do about it.
So, right.
Yeah.
And they really should be read together or sequentially.
Right.
Lots of folks had the first book already that were there. I was kind of surprised. And I had the Partisan Operator Journals, which we sold a few, but most of the people that came, like, oh, I have this. It was great. I read it in a day. You know, I'm like, oh, you do?
Okay, that's so awesome.
Why'd I even bring these? Right? But no, it was really cool to be able to meet.
I thought you sold quite a few of those.
So. I think so. And but the coolest part was being able to meet listeners and Amron Corps operators that I had never met before. And so that was just great. They came from all over the place. So what we did, Lady Liberty spoke at 2 p.m. after Heather Scott, Representative Heather Scott. It was really great seeing them too. And then I spoke that evening at 7 after it was after Matt. And so it was kind of spread out. So tonight what we're going to do is, for those of you who couldn't be there, we are going to air Lady Liberty's speech. And they're only like 25. Well, I think mine went a little long, but about 25-minute speeches, I think they were scheduled for.
Right. Yep.
So we'll do yours because you spoke first, and then we'll do mine, and we'll just do three segments tonight. But we want to just kind of frame it up for you and let you guys know what this is, what it's from, and share with you, for those of you who couldn't be there, the organizers are just they were just ecstatic. It went off so well. It was not a large turnout this time, but it was definitely quality over quantity, and some great vendors too.
Lots of patriot
groups. So it was really good. And we'll talk about more of this tomorrow morning too, for the morning commute, because a lot of folks, they don't listen to podcasts. They just, they'll tune in. They tune in the morning for the morning commute.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And we're actually kind of surprised at how many folks, when we said, oh, you can listen to the podcast, we upload all of our morning commute, and they're like, well, I just listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, the people that put the Red Pill festival on. Oh my gosh, they did an outstanding job.
Yep.
We just have to commend them. We were so impressed. Everything was so well taken care of.
Yeah.
And also, we wanted to thank all of the people that showed up to help us in our booth. I mean,
my goodness.
Between security and just people that wanted to give us a helping hand or watch the booth for us if, you know, we had to go grab something to drink or something. It was awesome. Those people, we thank you, all of you so much. We're obviously not going to name any names, but we are so thankful for all of your help.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
You guys know who you are, and we are so grateful for you guys. Yeah, awesome. Security and volunteer help to cover down for us when we were speaking.
Yeah.
When one of us was speaking, the other one was videoing, and that was the only time, only a couple other times we were able to break away from the booth, and it was for a very short time.
Right.
And it was also, I think this was fascinating because this was a left-wing propaganda media magnet.
Yes, it was.
The human rights Gestapo in Montana were just freaking out over this event. All these extremists are having this event. And of course, I had fun with that.
Yes.
But,
that was quite the little event. We'll have to talk about that later at some point.
Yeah. So we had the Washington Post there that we know of. We had the Washington Post, the London Times, who actually came over from England, and Vice News out of
New York.
And these guys are all left. They're the CNN, MSNBC level or Guardian, you know, or worse, really, some
right.
of them.
Yeah.
And so extremely biased reporting history. And so, you know, we didn't do interviews with them and just basically kind of ignored them. Well,
right.
we ignored them mostly, but the MC didn't. He hammered on them.
The whole time.
In between every speaker.
He just let them have it.
Yeah. He reminded everyone that the only skinhead that was there was from Vice News from New York.
That's funny.
Looking for extremism, racism, and, you know, a call to arms, and let's overthrow the government and all that other kind of nonsense. And no surprise to us, but much, I think, a disappointment to them. They didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, I think they probably turned away going, gosh, I was kind of a non-event for what they were expecting to hear.
What they were hoping.
Right.
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 Well, yeah, one of the British guys kept trying to get me to do an interview, which never took place. he's like, are you concerned about your messaging for the American Redoubt might, be a... instigate violence or lead somebody, trigger somebody to, you know, to carry out violence. And it was just absolutely ridiculous. And, but of course the answer is that is an excellent question. That's a valid question. I invite you to go and listen to my previous podcast where I've addressed that.
That's right.
And everything that we believe in and stand for, at least me personally, my views of the American Redoubt, I've talked about for 10 years on the podcast. So there's the website. You know, there you go. You can go listen.
Yep. You go. We've had 3 million downloads. And so everybody that seems to have that question is obviously very willing to investigate for themselves. And I invite you to do the same.
Right.
You were so polite about it.
Yeah. He was pretty frustrating. He was actually quivering. He was so frustrated.
Yep.
But that's all right. I did not lose any sleep over it. So, yeah, this is a really good time. The organizers have said that they are already working on ideas for planning next year's, and they absolutely want us back. So,
we're looking forward to being there.
We had
a ball, and being able to talk to all of the listeners that came to meet us that listened to our morning show, that said they faithfully listen every morning. It just blew us away.
We have the most amazing listening audience.
The
people are just, you guys are just really a blessing to us, more than you know. So just thank you for being out there.
Well, and also I wanted to give you forewarning. I got a little bit choked up in my speech because there's a part, it just choked me up. And so
you were emotional. Passionate about it. And you know what? That swept the crowd. It just went right over them. It hit them like a wall.
Well, and I looked out there and I saw several people wiping their eyes. And so I apologize for making anybody cry out there. That wasn't my intent.
But very
yeah,
cool.
So yeah, it was a great audience though, and so yeah, we appreciate
yep.
it.
And thank all of you guys out there in the listening audience that have supported us for so long. You're out there and you hold us up in your prayers. You just support us by sending gifts in, or $10 or $20 a month. Say keep doing what you're doing, and we're grateful for that. It all helps. And so, that's what we're going to do. So we'll go ahead and go.
You know who else was really cool there was U.S. Law Shield.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome to listen to them. I'm so glad that they got a chance to speak.
Alex.
Maury.
Thank you. Was an unscheduled speaker. We want you to actually explain what this, because the Patriots need this. And several, it's like 20, I think they had 24 or 28 people sign up for that self-defense, legal defense. And because he also reminded the listeners he reminded the people there, the attendees, they also protect you with red flag laws.
Right.
So if your firearms are taken through a red flag type of situation, that which is out without due process of law, they will come to your defense, and that alone right there is worth $11 a month.
I know.
Especially in this day and age where patriots are being labeled as extremists, domestic terrorists, and all kinds of other reasons to try to criminalize us. And one of the former DHS guys just last week said, the Republicans. And the Republican Party and Republicans are the number one national security threat to the United States.
Right. Yep.
So with that, in the light of that, I think that we can expect for them to start ramping things up by using legal tools like red flag laws to harass and oppress freedom-loving patriots.
Right, because it's one thing to have two sides of something that are both for the same country and both positively for the same country.
Right.
Just two varying viewpoints, right? It's another thing for one party to demonize the other and call them criminal.
Them terrorists, to criminalize them so you can incarcerate them.
Right.
Or execute them.
Yes, exactly. So talk about destroying the opposition, like totally, for real, literally destroying the opposition. That is what one party is now trying to do.
This is primo communist tactics. Yep. I mean, it's classic trademark communist craft.
Well, you can't have a dictatorship with two parties. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. It doesn't work out very well.
No, it doesn't.
or at least an oligarchy. They whatever they're trying to put in place, it is oppression and it's anti-American.
Yeah, well, New World Order.
So litigation is one of the ways that they try to destroy people. Yes. They destroy, even if you win, and they know you're going to win, they will make you incur tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees to defend yourself, to go, oh, you were right.
Exactly.
Have a nice life.
Yep.
Go away now.
Yeah, we just destroyed you financially forever.
And your reputation. You've been smeared in your local papers and your, everything else. But you're innocent now. Hey, see ya.
Yep.
It's rotten and it's dirty. And so something like, U.S. Law Shield is just like, wow, this is awesome.
We need
that
so badly. I'm so, so happy that we ran into them in the first place. I'm happy for people to be able to have this kind of option, really.
Yep.
So,
yep, absolutely. Okay, well, let's go ahead and close out segment one here, and segment two coming right up with Lady Liberty and her presentation, and then I'll be doing segment three. So, segment one brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, our friends up in the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho in Boundary County, especially helping folks get strategically relocated into the heart of the American Redoubt if you are a patriot, and only if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. I can say that. Actually, I don't know if they I don't know what the legalities are of that. Anyway, they love helping patriots get strategically relocated.
Yep.
So check them out at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. And Lady Liberty coming up in segment two. Stay right there.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
All right, welcome to segment two, Patriots. Segment two is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help you thrive on your property by procuring water, including water rights, and laying out your land strategically to get the most out of it for food production, for water, for defensibility, the construction and layout of it, food production, and solar and off-grid power options. They are a great consulting service located in the American Redoubt. And you know what? They also do remote consulting services as well. So even if you live in another state, another Patriot stronghold, Tennessee or somewhere in the Appalachians or Texas or someplace else, and you'd like some professional consulting help, they do that too remotely. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right, this coming up right now is Lady Liberty's speech from the Red Pill Expo this Saturday, July 24th.
What we have for you and what's coming up is more information on how to fight the woke America and bring us back to what we are. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce, this is Lady Liberty. She's a talk show host for the Radio Free Readout, the emerging safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, and author of Perils of Sustainable Development. Please help me in recognizing the Lady Liberty.
Good afternoon, everyone. So nice to see all of you here. And, you know, this is a great turnout. Unfortunately, we are in a perilous state in the nation right now. And so I don't know if all of you know who I am. I am the wife of John Jacob Schmidt. We do the morning commute together. It's broadcast out of Spokane on the American Christian Network, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. And so we have thoroughly enjoyed doing that together. And many of you may know that I had written the book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, way back in 2012. And that book was a book, well, it is a book about the United Nations and their complete history and involvement and intrusion into the United States. That book was written for elected officials as a quick and easy read, a quick reference that's very comprehensive, and also gave them a blueprint for what they could do about it. That was written as a warning as to what is likely to happen if they didn't fix it. Well, now we are in that time, the time that it's here, and this time needs to be fixed. So I have just written this book. It's called 444, and it's been quite the journey for that book. This book is a continuation of The Perils of Sustainable Development, and this is actually a fix for where we are right now in the United States with a communist coup. Do all of you believe or recognize that we are in a communist coup right now? Okay. Good. And I'm assuming that the audience is all Christian. Can I see a show of hands for how many Christians we have out there? Yes. That is awesome. Okay. Because the cool part about this book is that we were asking the Lord way back at the beginning of this year, Lord, what are we to do? Our legally elected president has been unseated. And so what do we do when, I mean, we're fully aware as to the history of communism and communist takeovers. Look at Venezuela. I mean, as far as what happened there, they even used the Dominion voting system to unseat everything down there. And so we're looking at nearly an exact duplicate happening in the United States right now. So what do you do when your president can no longer communicate with the nation? What do you do when he's been unseated? And what do you do when the communists basically have a fence around the Capitol, right? And so this has been our question. What do we do? And so this book is basically the answer to that. And why is it 444? 444, right? Well, since June of last year, when I started doing the political church on Podbean, that whole move was about the Lord putting on my heart to tell both the church and the enemy to repent and to get closer to him. And so it became an issue of become closer to God and honor his two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so I thought, how do you apply those two principles to government, right? How do you do that? How do you love your brother if you're an elected official? Well, that's already been established through the Constitution. As we know, the Constitution is congruent with Mosaic law, biblical law. And so what we're seeing right now is utter chaos. God is not chaos. God is order, divine order. He builds one block on top of the other, so it is all logical, it all makes sense, it all functions like it should. When you're talking about the creator of the universe, he made quarks, neutrinos, he made cells, he made functioning, movable parts in cells. And I mean, if you wanted to go back that far, I mean, the universe, all of his laws work in order. Cells, macro cells, become human beings, right? And they function. Tell me if that's not a miracle. I mean, just the fact that they even function. Okay, so we're talking about divine order applied to even the smallest micro scale to macro human society. Okay, so we're talking about when you've got the Constitution directly congruent with God's Mosaic laws, you keep the commandments. You keep the commandments. Why is that? Because it's order. It's the Bible is basically the owner's manual. How do you function best in the micro situation, in the macro situation? Micro from a level of me to you. How do you love your brother? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? You take care of them. You make sure that their families prosper. You help carry their burdens. On the macro scale, that's applied to government. How do you love your brother through government? You make sure that he's not regulated out of business. You make sure that he and his family can prosper. All of these things. You can do so many good things for your brother if you are an elected official, right? Well, that is what our Constitution basically outlines and guarantees for all of us. Well, so getting this back in order, we are wondering, Lord, what do we do? What on earth do we do? Well, lo and behold, in a Bible study, one day we were taking a trip to a friend's house to celebrate his birthday, and I opened randomly to Ezra chapter 9. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Ezra chapter 9 or 10, but this, the account of those two chapters is that Israel had returned from Babylon. And Ezra, the prophet at that time, he was so happy that God hadn't destroyed them. He gave them a reprieve and let them come back. Well, so as soon as they get back, what happened? All the Israelites went out and married pagan wives and husbands. And so Ezra was furious. He was actually beside himself. And so what he did is outstanding, because this is a model that we can apply to today. So this is the biblical measure. What they did was Ezra called all the priests, all the leaders, and all the citizens, and he commanded them to show up within 3 days, and if they didn't, they would lose their property. And so they all showed up. And what he had them do, after he finished tearing his clothes and being so angry at them, he said, what we're going to do is, first of all, we're as a community, we are all going to reaffirm our oath to God. We are going to recommit to God. And then we are going to purge all of the pagans from our society. And I went, oh, outstanding. That's outstanding. Okay, that is something that we can do. If we know that this is a communist coup, and we do know that it's a communist coup, we can do the same thing. Now, about the 444, this is where it gets interesting. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says every state is guaranteed a republican form of government. Do we have a republican form of government in any state right now? No. But let's go a little bit deeper on that. That Article 4, Section 4 is so simply and beautifully written, because by guaranteeing, it's not if you feel like having a republic. If you can strive or hope for a republic, you can have it. No, it's a guarantee in U.S. constitutional law. You know what that means? That means communism is illegal. Socialism is illegal. Fascism is illegal. Maoism is illegal. Sharia law is illegal. Amen. So what else does that mean? That means that anybody holding a public office or any governmental position at all is breaking that law. They are breaking the law of Article 4, Section 4, and they can be charged with a crime. Even more interesting, 5 U.S.C., U.S. Code 3333. Think about it. 444, 3333, okay? Exit 33. Releasing the book, 444. Okay? So, U.S. Code 3333. Have to count them. Says that violating their oath of office is a federal crime. Imagine that. We can charge them with violating Article 4, Section 4. We can charge them with violating U.S. Code 5. Well, 5, U.S. Code 3333. If we have criminals in office, they have to be charged with their crimes. Like Ezra, if we get together as communities strategically all around the United States with the goal in mind that we will call our pastors, our priests, our elected officials, everybody that is a true American and loves God, call them all to a meeting. Have everybody establish a ground basis, just like God. Establish order. Start off with your foundation. Put it on the cornerstone. You build on the rock and go up from there. Get everybody to, one, commit and recommit to the Lord Almighty. 2, commit to restoring the law and the Constitution. 3, commit to purging not the pagans in this case, but the God haters, the people that are illegally in office, the communists, the socialists, the fascists, the Maoists, the people supporting Sharia law. We can charge them with their crimes and prosecute them legally. This is a method that is, like I said, biblical, legal, moral, and it takes the high ground. This lets us do this process legally. And the other thing, this situation, according to, if we're going to look at this on a national scale, how do we do this if we don't have a central leader? This is the cool part. I don't know if any of you have studied Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Well, Sun Tzu is a military strategist that almost all militaries across the world refer to his strategies for their own. And you can use his military strategies without ever picking up a weapon. It's just, he's got some basic premises that are just outstanding. For instance, he says, if you're ready to do a battle, look at your landmass. Size up your landmass, your geography. If you have a large landmass and few warriors, you're going to use guerrilla tactics. Well, that's because guerrilla tactics have been effective. I'm not talking about guerrilla tactics with weapons. I'm talking about the fact that 77% of the entire population occupies only 6% of U.S. landmass. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, only 6% of the entire U.S. landmass is developed, and 77% of our population is on that 6%. And so what does that mean? We have such a huge landmass that can either work against us or for us. It can work for us if all the communities individually decide to take up this procedure. If they will commit to God, commit to upholding the law and the Constitution, and to actually decide to find those communist people that are in their elected positions and prosecute them, charge them with the crime. Breaking the Constitution is a flat-out crime, period. I mean, just like if somebody is going to trample any one of your rights, your Second Amendment, it's a crime. The reason why it's not being upholded is because we are in a communist coup. That's what this is all about. And so nobody really wants to come take up arms. I know I don't. I want to do this peacefully. I want to do it legally, and I want to have God's backing. I want to take the high ground, and I want to see America restored. This is a way to do that. And so beyond that, I'm really, really hoping that this will take off, because so far I've not seen any solutions. And I've not heard anybody step forward and have any other plan of, oh, we need to take up arms. Well, wait a minute. This is something that we can all build our basis with our agreement, our recommitment, and deciding to actually hold people to the law. Imagine that. Well, and there's people that have challenged me and said, well, judges, they're not upholding the law anymore. Well, guess what? We can unseat those judges. We can recall those judges. The people, well, just depending on state law, either the legislatures or the people have the ability to unseat those illegal judges. And if we can't find somebody that will prosecute them, say you go to a federal court to prosecute whomever, and they won't do it, well, then we charge them with a violation of their oath of office for not upholding constitutional law, which is a federal crime, and it's punishable. And so we're going to keep going, because the other part of 444 is guess what? There are three branches of government, right? We've got the executive, we've got the legislative, and then we've got the judicial. Well, what happens when the fox is guarding the hen house and they all figure out none of them have to obey the law anymore as long as they all support each other and refuse to prosecute each other? What happens then? Well, guess what? The fourth branch. Who's the fourth branch? That's we, the people. We are the fourth branch. Hence, 4-4-4. All right? So we have got a plan. We can follow Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10. I encourage you all to go home and read it for yourselves. We don't even have to cast out our husbands and wives, for crying out loud. Nothing that drastic. We don't love those communist officials that much, right? We can get rid of those guys. And so we're going to go up the chain. We are going to act like the fourth branch. You're not going to uphold the law, then you're charged also, and we're going to hold you to that crime. And we're going to keep going until we find somebody, anybody, that is going to uphold that law. And if we have to step in as the fourth branch and say, wow, judicial isn't working anymore, they refuse to do their jobs, guess what? We're going to have to take their place. Hopefully, we will have enough elected officials that will understand the benefit of this plan right here, because this is peaceful. This is legal. This is biblical. And so I encourage all of you, if you haven't read The Perils of Sustainable Development that I wrote in 2012, I would encourage you to read that. That is the outline of how this all started and the history for that. This was given to elected officials and one senator, he used to buy it from me in bulk and give it to all of his buddies that were elected officials. He ended up giving a copy to President Trump, and Trump asked him, he said, well, what do you think of Agenda 21? And he said, well, I've got the book. I believe in everything in this book. And so if you read that, then you'll know where I stand. Well, Trump appointed him to the USDA. And so that was where that book started in 2012. And this is the follow-up saying, uh-oh, we kind of didn't do our jobs, did we? We let this get this bad. We did that on our watch. Yikes. We get to answer to God for that, where he says, who will stand for me? Who will stand in the gap on behalf of the land? And he couldn't find anybody. I'm saying, call me. Call me, Lord. I will. And you can darn well bet I'll do it fearlessly. That was actually my oath to God back in 2005. And I have been standing fearlessly and fighting tooth and nail ever since against communism. And so I just encourage you to take this seriously. 444 is a viable option that we don't even need a centralized sitting president to do. This needs to catch fire, and it needs to take place in communities. How hard is it? You've all called a meeting before. You've put out, you know, a $5 ad in the paper saying, all those interested in such and such, meet at this Grange. Let's get the pastors, the elected officials, let's get everybody on board and recommit, set that basis that we're recommitted, and now we're going to move forward, identify the criminals, and then we're going to charge them with their crimes and remove them from office. This is going to take some doing, but don't you dare get so far that you're standing in front of God and he goes, where were you? You go, well, I was a chicken. I just chickened out. He's going to say, you know what? Yes. Cowards aren't allowed in the kingdom. It says so in Revelations. Don't get that far. You get up there, by the time we're done, you get up there proud. Proud to say that it didn't happen on your watch. That you did something, and you stood for God. You said, you know what? This is a godless enemy, and I won't stand for it. On my watch, the buck stops here. One last thing. We all understand that we're in this situation because of electronic voting machines, right? How on earth do you ever expect to have another election that counts if the guy counting the votes manipulates who wins? It's not ever going to be different than the last election. That's a Stalin thing. He says it's not he that votes that counts, it's he that counts the votes. Right? We currently have no voice in our elections. Somebody at the end just goes, oh, flip. Oh, guess what? The liberal won again. Surprise, surprise. Right? We haven't had a voice since we've had electronic voting machines, however many years ago, what, 20-some, maybe even 30 years ago? The guy that was charged with inventing the electronic voting machine, he under oath, swore under oath in front of a jury, told the jury he was asked to invent a machine that could be manipulated. You know how they can tell when it's been manipulated? When the vote is very, very close. If you see 47, 53, 48, 54, whatever, that means it has been manipulated. That was what the inventor of those electronic voting machines said in front of a jury. That's how you can tell. Think of how many races we have watched that have been so close. And who does that serve? First of all, it looks like we're divided right down the middle in this nation. Lo and behold, we're not. From all the polls that I've researched, it shows they're about 20% support for the liberals, actually, from their own polls, because they're conflicting. And so you can weed through that information and find out the truth. The truth of the matter is that they don't have half of this nation on their side. It's a lie, just like all the rest of their lies. But that simple voting electronic machine makes everyone think otherwise. And what does that serve? It makes everybody think, well, we're close, so we're not going to push it. But if the people knew, oh, that's not the case at all, they've actually only got 20% support. People are going to do something about it, but nobody seems to know that yet. And so we have no vote so long as any vote can be manipulated and any outcome can be changed in favor of a communist, socialist, fascist supporting candidate.
Well, so 81 million people didn't vote for Joe Biden?
I know, imagine that, right? Well, yeah, there's not that many people asleep in the senior citizens' homes, are there? Well, so I actually want to put that campaign to get rid of all the electronic voting machines. That has to happen before the next election. Why even vote? Why even vote if there are still electronic voting machines?
Hold our own.
Exactly. It makes no sense. We have to go back to vote in person, bring your ID, use paper ballots, have them counted by hand so that our votes actually count.
No internet access.
And no internet access. No electronic access, period. It makes it manipulatable. And here's another thing. I submit to all of you that in this last election, the RNC took in $340 million on behalf of Trump. And yet they never supported him. They never backed him up trying to get legal backing for any of this election fraud. What did they do with all that? $340 million of our money that we sent to support that man. They didn't support him. I say we commission each and every county Republican government committee to pay for the action that's going to be the campaign to get rid of these electronic voting machines. Make them use our money to our advantage. Say, use that money. Use that money for something that'll actually help the people, hold them accountable. Otherwise, what, they're just going to go on luxury vacations on our dime? Let's have them use that money and get rid of these electronic voting machines. And so that's what I wanted to share with all of you today. And I'm selling both copies of my book over there. And so if you'd like to stop by our booth, we're just right over there on the left corner. And I would love to meet you, shake your hands, and send you off with a copy of a plan that will work. All right, and I thank all of you for all of you that listen to the morning commute with JJS and I. I mean, we so much fun being able to share the Word of God every day with people and share the truth in the news so that people can actually hear the truth every day instead of continuous, unending lies. All right, thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Hello, Patriots. Abraham Lincoln here. I am reminded of a time back in 1773 when the Sons of Liberty, including Samuel Adams and John Hancock, broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing hundreds of crates of tea into Boston Harbor. We celebrate that historic event daily here at Minutemen Coffee, for on that day in 1773, American patriots began drinking coffee, and the rest is history. We believe that all men are created equal. Coffee is not. Come taste it for yourself, and you will agree. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily, whole bean, ground, or in patented pods. We invite you to come celebrate with us at www.minutemencoffee.com.
All right, welcome back to segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Katie Armour, C-A-T-I, as in come and take it. KatieArmour.com for your body armor needs. Serious body armor for serious times, and these are serious times. KatieArmour.com. All right, now coming up is my speech that I gave at the Red Pill Expo on Saturday, July 24th. For those of you who were not able to attend, we missed you, but here you go. So we recorded it, and I want to share it with you, and hopefully it's a blessing to you, and hopefully it motivates you a little bit. A lot of this is stuff that you have all, most, I think all of this, you have heard before, you've heard me say before at various other speeches and times, but this was a new crowd, this was a new audience, so it was new to a lot of people. All right, here we go, without further ado.
Thanks, buddy. Welcome.
That's one of the best MCs that I've seen do an event, especially to stick it out for this long. Are there some God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots in the crowd?
Yeah.
I love that word, patriots. Just, it makes communists cringe. But I come bearing great news. Trump won. And secondly, nobody has gotten the flu in over 18 months. So those are good things. Now, I heard that the communists found out about the Red Pill Festival, and they thought it was such a great idea that they decided to have their own little gathering last weekend. And they called it Better Together, and then held it separately. I was following their Twitter postings over the last week, kind of leading it the last couple of weeks, And I keep seeing this recurring thread that they keep posting. And it says, please do not give these events like the Red Pill Festival free advertising by posting about them. And then they posted that about a bazillion times on Twitter. Now, I don't know if maybe the human rights Gestapo here in Montana doesn't realize that when you use Twitter and you use words, phrases like Red Pill Festival over and over and over, it adds to their algorithms and it boosts it up in the trending, which basically gave us free advertising. So, thank you. So I have a question for you on the left. If you think we're better together, then why do you keep causing division? I want to introduce myself. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. I started a podcast called Radio Free Redoubt to promote the strategic relocation of conservative, Christian, like-minded patriots to the Inland Pacific Northwest. The left doesn't understand it. Media from New York or from England, they cock their heads sideways like a confused puppy and they can't try to figure out why people don't want to have their children raised in places like California or the I-25 corridor in Colorado or Illinois or other places. So they want to be free. And we're very proud that the our American heritage is held in this area. It's a redoubt as a safe haven, a fallback position, a defensible safe haven. And that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with it. The love, when they try to, they don't know what it is, so they try to figure it out on their own. And so it starts off American Redoubt, patriot-minded people move here, which is also the same area where the neo-Nazis were entrenched. And then the whole rest of the article is about neo-Nazis, which has nothing to do with the American Redoubt. But it's amusing to watch them try anyway. So I have a weekly podcast that I've done for now 10 years. June 5th was our 10-year anniversary, and it's hard to believe. And then I went on the radio show. I have my own radio show out of Liberty Broadcasting and the American Christian Network out of Spokane. I co-hosted with Matt Shea for quite a while, and then I broke off and have my own radio show. Now I'm very privileged to be able to do a morning radio show each morning called The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, my bride, that many of you got to hear earlier, hopefully. And so this has just really been a blessing, and it's really a blessing to be able to meet so many of you guys out here. So thank you guys for coming out. I know some of you drove a long ways to be here. Now, I was in the Army, and I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I was a radio operator, worked in communications, and I went to Desert Storm with 3rd Special Forces Group. But before that, before I got to Fort Bragg, I actually spent 2 years in Germany. And I was there in 88 through 90. And I actually went on a tour to East Germany when I was a young man. And I got to see Checkpoint Charlie. I got to go through communist East Germany. I got to see communism face to face. And since then, over the years, I have read so many accounts of people who've survived communism, who are warning us now. People who have shared their experience under living under totalitarian regimes, and they're warning us. They're like, America, you have to stand against this. What we left, this is what's happening right here, is what's rising up in America, is what we fled, and there's no place else to flee to. We had the advantage of having some place to flee to. There's no place left to flee to. We have to draw the line in the sand, and we have to fight for American, our traditional American values, what makes America exceptional and unique, and we have to fight for it right now. So, what is communism? We have these old public service announcements and other documentaries and stuff from like the 50s, where they tried to warn us about communism and what it is. And they describe it, communism is lying, godless, murderous, shrewd, and actually it's unlawful. It's unlawful because it's a violation of Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, which guarantees the states a republican form of government. Communism is not a republican form of government. So it makes it illegal. And of course, that's one of the reasons why the left hates the Constitution. Matter of fact, when they try to run these hit pieces, They call us extremists. They call us domestic terrorists, violent, domestic, this, that, and the next thing. White nationalists. Constitutionalists. That's a bad word. In their mind. War with a badge of honor. So I see some of these common phrases and terminology thrown around by the anti-Americans who are freaked out by patriots gathering like this. They call us anti-government. They call us pro-militia. They call us extremist. Well, first of all, we don't care what kind of names they want to call us. But one thing about studying communism for years, I've seen a common thread anytime a totalitarian, especially communist regimes, rise to power. It's a predictable pattern. It is a predictable formula that you can see unfold. And this is what we have happening in the United States right now. And I've boiled this down several years ago, and I've talked about this a lot on my show. There's a sequence of oppression. It starts with marginalization. That means they start to mock you. On the television shows, the guy that's a Christian is basically kind of the butt of everyone's jokes. He's the weakling. You're just insignificant, irrelevant, to be mocked and made fun of. So marginalization, then demonization. Now you're not just made fun of. Now you are a threat. Now you are evil. Now something must be done about you. That's the demonization. Then the criminalization. Criminalization is then when they try to criminalize your activities by calling you a domestic terrorist, violent extremist, and all the other type of labels that they want to throw on it. But there's another one that's happened over the last 5 years or so that I've added in here, and it's litigation. This is where they try to destroy you through the legal system, like having a bakery and not wanting to provide some service that violates your moral conscience, which you're protected from in the Constitution. But then they sue you and they tie you up in legislation. They try to destroy you financially in the litigation. But then the next thing is incarceration, and then finally extermination. So there's marginalization, demonization, criminalization, incarceration, and then extermination. These are the sequence of events that we have seen in China. We saw them in Venezuela. We've seen them in South Africa. Right now it's unfolding. We saw it in Cuba. We've seen it in the Soviet Union. It's just age old. But we're called conspiracy theorists. But what we're finding out, what we always knew, is that yesterday's conspiracy theory is today's headlines. Are they not? Nobody's trying to force you to accept homosexuality. Nobody's trying to expose your kids to homosexuals, right? You're just a bunch of conspiracy theorists. But everything, well, I wouldn't say everything. Most things that we have identified over the last year, watching, putting that up against the backdrop of what we know about history, that we can predict where this is going. We see this trajectory, where it's going to head, and we point that out, and we're conspiracy theorists. But then it's on the headlines. Then it becomes reality. So you don't have to be in a militia to be targeted by these maniacs that are trying to demonize you, criminalize you. One day we'll incarcerate you, and that's actually already happening. We have patriots that are sitting in solitary confinement, acting like being treated like Al-Qaeda operatives in Guantanamo, but actually they're being held in D.C. because many of these people, their accounts and all of the testimony of those around them, this guy walked through the door of the Capitol and the police smiled and nodded. And they asked where the bathroom is. Next thing you know, they're being raided by the FBI. Now they're in solitary confinement. Their neighbors look at them like you're a domestic extremist, ruining these people's lives. This is exactly what the Stasi did in East Germany. This is exactly what the NKVD did in the Soviet Union. Well, the Republican Party now, we're finding out, you don't even have to be a Republican. But the Republican Party is now the number one security, national security threat to the United States of America. Did you know that? Miles Taylor, a former Department of Homeland Security official, made that comment during a Thursday interview on MSNBC. Another leftist propaganda machine. But you don't have to be in the 3%. You don't have to be in the militia. Baronelle Stutzman, anybody heard that name? It's an elderly Christian woman who owned a flower shop in Central Washington in the Tri-Cities. She refused to present a flower arrangement for a pretend wedding between two men. Not only is she being harassed through litigation now, she now could actually be facing criminal charges because of Washington's insidious so-called anti-discrimination law. So we have a major failure because the federal court ruled in favor of Washington State that she's in violation of this anti-discrimination law. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court kicked it back. They won't hear it. So now she stands to face criminal charges for this. So we have a failure on the executive branch and the judicial branch, at least. And actually, the legislative branch for passing such a law, which is in violation of Washington State's own constitution. This is what it reads under Section 11, which covers religious freedom. A child could understand this. Absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment, belief, and worship shall be guaranteed to every individual, and no one shall be molested or disturbed in person or property on account of religion. This is another reason why the leftists hate the Constitution. The other thing is about the militias. All these guys that are coming here to St. Regis, they're pro-militia. Well, guess what? The militia was critical in the foundation of our country. So critical, in fact, that they put it in the Constitution and even stated that the Second Amendment, or that the militias, were necessary to the security of a free state. If you refer to the letters and the debates of the Founding Fathers and go back to the original intent instead of the historical revisionists, it was very clear it was intended for civilians to own firearms adequate to stand against, to resist a standing army should it be used unlawfully against the citizenry to oppress them. It's another reason why they hate the Constitution. Right now in South Africa, military and police are running from hordes of thousands of violent people in mobs who are raping and murdering and stealing and burning, all stirred up by, you guessed it, Marxists and communists. And the police are running out of ammo, begging the civilian populace for resupply. And the police are retreating, leaving armed civilians. And I just heard this from a missionary that I met several years ago. He and his wife texted saying they just made it out on the last plane out from the airport that they were leaving. They would not allow anyone else to leave if you were South African. Only foreigners could leave, and they were putting this missionary and his wife on a plane. And he said, Christians, specifically said, Christians are forming groups together of multiple races, Indian, white, brown. They're forming militias to defend their neighborhoods, holding back these mobs of thousands of people because the police are retreating. They are overwhelmed. In Cuba, starving citizens who are fed up with communism and who rose up two weeks ago now, to protest are now being identified, arrested, and disappeared, including clergy. And by many accounts, Cuban citizens are being executed in front of their families if they were identified as instigators of this uprising, or should I say, insurrection. We're being fed lies by the Western media that the Cuban people are upset about the communist regime not doing enough about COVID, which is another scam altogether. We're being fed lies that the United States government sanctions are what are hurting the Cuban people and why they're upset. But we have multiple accounts that have been sneaked out of Cuba, leaked out of Cuba. Or people are saying it's their own government has placed all these restrictions on goods and food on the people. You show up with too many pounds of bananas or flour, they let you have the limit, your 5 pounds, they confiscate the other 20 pounds. The people are starving. It's their own government that's doing it. So it's amusing, too, that The legacy media reported that after the uprising, the communist regime lifted restrictions on imports. They, the communist government, in response to the uprising, lifted restrictions on imports. Not the United States. Their own government is doing this. Imagine what a different outcome it might be. People being executed, disappeared, arrested. If the citizenry getting tortured and murdered were instead armed. Immigrants are warning us. People from Cuba warn us. Never, ever give up your guns. Don't ever do it. And now the Department of Homeland Security is turning a blind eye to our southern border, leaving our border open to a literal invasion, is telling the Cuban people, do not come here. If you come here from Cuba, you'll be turned away. You will not land on American soil. Why? Because those Cubans who've been waving American flags and saying down with communism, that are fleeing persecution, are also bringing with them testimonies about what it's like to live under communism. And wouldn't you know it, we have a communist regime right now whose Homeland Security official told the Cuban, freedom-loving Cubans, don't come here. You're not welcome. So they keep saying, don't give up your guns. Americans, don't give up your guns. Well, my freedom-loving Cuban friends, I assure you we will never allow ourselves to be disarmed. Cool? Now let's also talk about the false assertion and lay down the myth that we're so-called anti-government. I know of one person in my life that is, well, he calls himself an anarchist. But it's kind of like in the Bible, you know, everybody should just do what's right. Everybody stay out of each other's business. And you do your stuff. They do their stuff. Nobody, you just leave each other alone. You don't need government to do that. Well, that's really great. But the only time in the Bible that ever worked, they went downhill really fast. That's why God had to bring in judges to straighten people out. We are against any other form of government than a republic. Anyone supporting any other form of government than a republic is supporting unlawfulness. They are the ones who are truly anti-government. They're anti-American government. We're opposed to government acting unlawfully. We're opposed to government who abuses their power. Calling us anti-government is like walking out of a restaurant to find a man in the parking lot beating his wife. And you run and grab him and restrain him. And the crowd runs up and points at you and says, why are you anti-husband? Get it? We're not anti-husband. We're anti the husband that's abusing his wife and acting unlawfully and harming her. The government has an obligation, according to the Constitution and our founding documents and all of the arguments of the founding fathers, that the primary duty of the government is to defend the rights of the citizens. There's actually a law, 18, titled, guys, write this down, 18 U.S. Code 242, called Deprivation of Rights Under the Color of Authority. It's illegal to violate citizens' rights, especially their natural rights. And I use that term specifically because they're constitutional rights, but those rights are only enumerated in the Constitution. We're not given rights from the Constitution. We're not given rights from the government. These are natural rights, which is the shift that took place in the last generation, where natural rights are now replaced with human rights. And human rights are whatever they decide depending on whichever way the wind's blowing. So let's talk about what government should look like. Call us anti-government? I think not. I want government in place. I want people to be doing stuff I don't have the time to do. Building roads, protecting our borders, those type of things. And I'm willing to pay taxes and support those operations. As long as they're operating within the confines of the Constitution. As long as they're not out there pummeling their wives, right? And they're acting like they should. I want a government in place. Romans chapter 13 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Pretty straightforward. We're supposed to obey the government. But Sometimes that's where some preachers stop, and that's where some people... Do you guys see Kamala Harris schooling us on the essence of what the Bible teaches, that we should all get our vaccines? I think that's about the limit of what she's ever even quoted from the Bible. It's probably written by someone else for her to say. That was disastrous. I don't know how somebody even let her do that. But anyway, so let's move on. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment to themselves. Stop. This is the scripture Hitler loved. Matter of fact, he put pressure on the clergy in Germany to emphasize to his, to their constituents, to the, their congregations, to place emphasis on Romans chapter 13, because only God could only be there. I mean, Hitler could only be there if God put him there. So he's basically a minister of God now. This is what Hitler wanted the clergy to place emphasis on. But let's move on. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Yes. Do what is good. Okay. And you will have praise from the same. Sounds great. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. What is this very thing? The very thing is that they persecute, prosecute, pursue evil, and they uphold and give favor to the righteous. But what happens, and does everybody want a government that does that? Pursues wickedness and evil and upholds and honors righteousness? That's all we ask for. Is it too much? I guess it is. Because now we have a flip of this. Now we have wickedness being upheld, defended, in fact, forced upon people to accept it. And those who are righteous now are being persecuted. They are lifting up and honoring wickedness, and they are pursuing, bringing the sword against, and persecuting the righteous. This is abhorrent. This is like you having a German Shepherd or a pit bull that is trained up to be right there next to your child, to defend your child, to keep people at bay from them so your child can play in the front yard by itself. And then it turns and it attacks your child. That's what's called an abomination. It's something that goes completely against what it was created and intended to do. The government was created and intended to uphold the righteous and pursue the wicked. And the wicked should have, I mean, the righteous should have no fear of their government, because the government is there to give honor to the righteous. But that's not what's happening, is it? 2 Chronicles 19:6-7 says, "Then he said to the judges." Now this is King Jehoshaphat. He was an awesome king. Look this up and read up on it. 2 Chronicles. I love this book. There was evil, wicked rulers and leaders, and it brought judgment on the nation of Israel. And there were some really good leaders that did some great things. And Jehoshaphat was one of them. And this is what the king said to his judges that he was appointing. He said, "Consider carefully what you do, for you are not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you when you render judgment. And now, may the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for with the Lord our God, there is no injustice or partiality or bribery." The king warned the judges they would be held accountable and to judge in the fear of the Lord. How are our judges holding up to that today? They don't fear the Lord at all. They mock him. Deuteronomy 16:19-20 says, "You shall not," this is to the judges, "you shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous," and so on. Proverbs 16:12 says, "It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness." for a throne is established by righteousness. The position of the President of the United States is not just kings, it's national leaders, leadership in nations. Our presidency, the seat of the President of the United States, is established by righteousness. But now we have a king acting wickedly, which is an abomination. I just want to say, before I go into some of this other stuff, well, actually, let me back up. There are some leftists here that are snooping, trying to keep notes, trying to find radical, extremist, violent, whatever, homophobic, Islamophobic, xenophobic, all the other phobic, which is actually also, you lose all credibility when you try to use those labels, because a phobia is an irrational fear. None of us have an irrational fear of homosexuals. We just don't want it taught to our children and part of our children's curriculum in our public schools. It doesn't belong there. It's wrong. There's no way to justify it. There's no way to justify having a child sit in a man's lap who's wearing a dress and lipstick that doesn't even, well, he doesn't even look like a woman. He looks like the lead singer from Twisted Sister. I mean, they look like clowns. They look like freaks. And they want to have us have our children sit in their laps or come to our schools and parade around reading homosexual books to our children. It's not unreasonable for us to say, I don't want that in my child's life. Now, all of us are sinners. I'm a horrible sinner. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. He forgave me, and I'm grateful for that, even though I don't deserve it. I want to point something out. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a pastor I really look up to. He was a pastor in Germany during World War II. And he wrote several books, and I have them all in my bookshelves. But this one's from The Cost of Discipleship. And he said, by judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. So I keep that in mind when I'm addressing these issues, because I'm not judging somebody for wherever they are in their sin. I will call you to repentance, because you are going to hell, and there's a way out. I was going to hell. There was a way out, and I took it. It's called Jesus Christ. It's called accepting Him and acknowledging Him as the King of Kings and repenting from your sins. That's not a judgment. I'm giving you a way out. But we are called to stand against evil. We are called to stand against oppression. We are supposed to uphold righteousness. The Special Forces motto is De Oppresso Liber. That's Latin for liberate the oppressed. It's scriptural. So, on the not judging side, I do want to say, I'm going to stand against somebody who wants to, I don't care what sin it is. If you want to have a parade and come into school and teach my children that lying is really cool, you should do it. Adultery is awesome. We should be free to do it. I don't want my children being taught that stuff. I don't want that being prominent messaging in our culture. It's going to bring judgment against us. It's destructive. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer also said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. So we got to keep that in mind. But, you know, this is not an American issue. We are American patriots. We love our American heritage. All eyes right now are on America to see what the patriots are going to do about this. And everybody's kind of gray man, right? Everybody kind of shrunk down. As soon as the patriots rose up furious over what the entire world acknowledges was a stolen election, everyone was stunned. But a million Americans in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, they were furious. Several hundred of them breached the Capitol building. Now they're being arrested. Now they're being told, you guys are terrorists. You guys are insurrectionists. You guys are domestic homeland extremists, everything else. And people are getting raided and dragged out of their homes and disappeared, thrown into solitary confinement. in the United States of America. So, I wanted to point out that even though this is happening right now in the United States of America, this is happening globally. This is what it's going to come down to. This is a battle of good against evil. This is Christ and not Christ. This is Christ versus Antichrist spirit. I don't believe that stuff. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you don't believe in electricity and you stick your butter knife in that little outlet, it's irrelevant whether or not you believe in it. Someday you're going to find out what's real and what's not. But this is spiritual warfare, and whether you or not you believe it, it really comes down to communism versus liberty. This is the communism versus the West. This is ultimately Christ and Antichrist. And I don't mean the Antichrist. It's an Antichrist. People, that the hatred that they have for Christ, the Word of God, and His followers. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Guys, this is not just a blanket over America. This is engulfing the entire world. Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary. Hungary is like the American redoubt of Europe. Poland and the Czech Republic have sealed their borders. They said, we are not going to force this invasion of Muslims into our countries because it has fundamentally transformed France, Holland, Sweden, England, Germany. Unrecognizable now. But in Poland and the Czech Republic and Hungary, they have stood their ground. They have sealed their borders. They have not played the game of the European Union. And they are called by the European Union and those in the Human Rights Commission in the United Nations. They're called, see if this sounds familiar, extremists, terrorists, homophobes, xenophobes, Islamophobes, Christian fundamentalists, haters, and more. Just like us. Just like the founding fathers were called. So I want to finish this with a speech that I wish I would have written. It was given by a young woman, college age, in a series of speeches that was given. And you could replace Poland with the United States and share the same sentiment of what patriots, people, Christians who love their countries and their Christian heritage, are fighting for around the country, around the world in countries right now. This is what she says. This is Poland. This is our land, our country, our rules, our values. Here, Jesus Christ is King. We are not interested in European Union directives or immigration quotas. These are not our wars, referring to the immigrants. It is not our culture. It is not our faith. And it's not our immigrants. Poland will not feed foreigners while her own children are starving. We have no intention of making any compromise. We are the living church of Christ. We constitute the fighting church. We will fight till the end. And when the time comes, we will stand in defense of our faith. Whatever may come, our shield is our holy faith, our weapon, nationalism. Hua? Thank you for listening. God bless all of you.
All right, and that's a wrap. Guys, hope you liked that. Hope you appreciated that. Thank you guys for sharing and spreading the word about Radio Free Redoubt and our morning commute production as well. We always appreciate that. Thank you guys for keeping us in your prayers and for your support. All right, with that, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. You have a blessed week. Good night.